Public News Service Daily Newscast for May the 29th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. The former Minneapolis police officer seen in a video with his knee on George Floyd's neck had 18 prior complaints filed against him with the Minneapolis Police Department Internal Affairs Unit. That's according to the police department and reported by CNN. It's unclear what the internal affairs complaints against the officer identified as Derek Chauvin were. The MPD did not provide additional details. Meantime, R. Mike Bowen is on the story. He reports that beneath the protests and riots against Minneapolis police sit layers of fear and frustration from the city's black community.
Residents say these feelings have been around for years and could take a while to result in real change. The death of George Floyd at the hands of a Minneapolis police officer has reignited cries from African Americans that they're routinely victimized by authorities. Robin Lewis, a lifelong city resident and neighborhood organizer, says it ranges from deadly encounters to racial profiling. She adds that for a black person, the trauma lingers.
It breaks people down. It brings fear among our own community where we live. It brings mistrust. People will tell you when you're driving and all of a sudden the police behind you, you get scared.
And residents point to previous concerns about most Minneapolis officers choosing to live outside the city as creating communication gaps. Mayor Jacob Fry is urging non-black residents to consider these long-standing concerns. Residents say a lack of investment by financial institutions to help build communities adds to their frustration.
A 2017 Star Tribune analysis found that only about 8% of Minneapolis police officers actually live within the city limits. Delays of mail-in ballots from Maryland's Board of Elections are threatening the statewide presidential primary Tuesday. That's according to voting rights activists.
Folks in part of Baltimore and Montgomery County still haven't received their ballots for the June 2nd election, which was rescheduled from April because of the coronavirus pandemic. Joanne Antoine with Common Cause Maryland says a coalition this week requested Board of Elections officials to add more in-person vote centers and increase the number of days they're open to compensate for the late ballots.
We know that when we're looking at research in other states, you want to expand the number of in-person options that are available. And we certainly could have opened these vote centers starting this weekend into Election Day to help address any problems that might happen.
Election officials blame the mailing error on an out-of-state vendor. Voters can still print out ballots at home and mail them to the Board of Elections. For more information on casting a ballot, look online at elections.maryland.gov. I'm Diane Bernard.
This is PNS. Hospitality and gaming is a dominant industry, of course, in Las Vegas. The frenzied environment tourists have come to expect will be altered when casinos reopen there next week.
There will be fewer people at the casinos and not as many things to do, with nightclubs still closed and reservation-only dining. Brian Labus is an assistant professor at the School of Public Health at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and a member of the medical advisory team advising Nevada's governor. He notes that all casinos will have detailed plans for how to protect people from the spread of COVID-19.
The challenge is that we've never done any of these things before. We haven't had this type of change in our practices, so we don't know what's going to work and what's not going to work.
I'm Roz Brown.
Earlier this year, more than 3 million visitors a month were flocking to Vegas. As a result of the pandemic, some economists expect the city to be one of the hardest-hit metro areas in the West. LGBTQ people in the southern U.S. living under the most hostile policy landscape in the country, according to a new report. But Florida may be the exception.
The report by the Movement Advancement Project examined 14 southern states and found unfriendly policies for the 1 in 3 individuals who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, or questioning, and who call the South home. The project's Logan Casey says discriminatory laws target LGBTQ youth, adults considering fostering or adopting, and religious exemptions in healthcare. But he says 60% of Floridians live in places with inclusive, non-discriminatory protections.
Florida has really been not just a southern leader, but a national leader.
For Public News Service, I'm Tramell Gomes.
Finally, Laura Rosbrow Tellum reports demand for emergency food from food pantries up about 50% in Maine since the COVID-19 outbreak. When you live on an island, it can be much harder to get.
The Maine Seacoast Mission has gotten creative to deliver groceries to people on the islands who need them. They had to stop using their boat for deliveries when the shutdown began in March. Instead, they quickly coordinated with Penobscot Air to fly the food in. Sharon Daly is the director of island health for the mission and also an island resident.
They've got a double issue with food. First of all, people not working, lobstering being bad, sternmen not being able to earn any income right off. Then there's also the issues of getting the food out to the islands.
The Maine Seacoast Mission also has helped set up food pantries on Matinicus and Frenchboro Islands with the support of the Area Interfaith Outreach, or AIO, food pantry and the Bar Harbor Food Bank.
Those at the Maine Seacoast Mission expect there could be more people needing food assistance this summer. This is Mike Clifford. Thanks for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. We are member and we're listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.